Have you ever walked in on the middle of a conversation and had no idea what they were talking about? Or walked in the middle of a movie that was on TV and you tried to sit down and watch it and you're like, I have no idea what's going on? Well, to those of you visiting with us today, first and foremost, we're so glad that you're here. But this sermon time is probably going to feel kind of like that. Kind of like the time that I heard all about the TV show Lost. That was, so popular, I thought, well, I'm going to see what all the fuss is about. And I watched an episode right in the middle. I was like, well, now I know why they call the TV show this, because I have no idea what's going on. So I'm going to try to do my best to get us into the story. So if you've never heard this before, I guess the best way that I know to introduce this is to say, when we last left the heroes of our story, and then the disciples were going out, sent by Jesus. The end of Mark 6 says this. So they went out and preached that everyone should repent. And they cast many demons and anointed many with oil that were sick and healed them. So the story right now is sounding really good. Like this is at a really good part of the story. But if this were a movie, everything would kind of darken on screen, and deep music, probably in a minor chord, would start playing. And this is where Mark 6 picks up. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said he is Elijah, and still others claimed he's a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. Now, our story about going out into a dangerous and demanding world pauses here, so that Mark, the writer of this story, can do something that Mark loves to do, and that is sandwich in a story right in the middle of everything, and this time it's a flashback. And so again, if you're watching this as a movie, all these things are happening, and the screen shifts, and you know right away that you're in the middle of a flashback. And so, Mark tells us basically how John the Baptist wound up dead. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him, but she wasn't able to because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. And yes, by the way, if you're wondering, this is in the Bible, so... But just wait. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, ask me for anything you want and I'll give it to you. And he promised her with an oath, whatever you ask, I will give you up to half my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what do I ask for? The head of John the Baptist, she answered. At once the girl hurried in to the king with the request, I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a plate. The king was greatly distressed. but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought back his head on a plate. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The flashback ends here, and we pick back up with the story of Jesus' immediate followers and our story as well. Still from Mark 6, the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest for a while," because many were coming and going, and they did not even have time to rest and eat. Goodness gracious. What a world we live in. But this is the world we live in. And Jesus gives us instructions. What to do. How to do it. And why we are doing it. We go out into the world every day. And there are demons. There is evil. And there is division among people. But we, as the peacemakers of Jesus, need to be about healing those divisions, the most horrible demons of our age. Along the way, call people to repent, that is, to turn to God, not with empty promises, but with the promises of Jesus himself. Promises of a new creation, not going back to Egypt, not going back to Babylon, but also not going back to Jerusalem. A new creation, and a true one, that is in line with this new creation that Jesus himself preached about. And it's a new creation where blind people can see and every tear is dried. We are called to be the sight givers and the tear dryers of this age. We are called to give sight, and we are called to dry tears. And if you don't know how to give sight, most of us have dried a tear or two in our lifetimes. So if you have nothing more to think that you could possibly offer as a follower of Jesus, go out into the world this week and be a tear dryer. Because that's what Jesus does. But not just that. We are called to bring healing. Every sickness, every brokenness, and every sadness that comes in contact with us says that we are willing to weather any storm because we can see the bigger picture. But in the middle of going out and doing the work of Jesus, you caught the story, right, that Mark sandwiches in the middle about John the Baptist? It's like, what is it doing there? Where did that story? It's like the disciples go out, they do their thing, they come back, and they tell Jesus, but right in the middle, why did Mark put that story there? Right in the middle of the disciples doing good things, and then they come back out, and they are so exhausted that they don't even have time to eat because they were so busy doing good things. John the Baptist got killed. How does that fit in? I think it's there on purpose. I think that he put it there to remind us that we live in a world that while we are going out and drying tears, we may encounter John the Baptist stories along the way. Does any of that sound familiar to you? That even if you're having trouble with your faith, as you go out into the world, it's like, all right, I'm going to be a tear dryer this week because that's what they said and that sounds good. I can do that. Maybe encounter some John the Baptists along the way.
This is hard work. This is hard work because we live in a world where we may encounter the story of John the Baptist, whether in our own lives or those around us. And John the Baptist died because of the whim of a young girl, listening to the sick games of an older woman influencing the young girl who had tremendous power over a dirty old man. This is crazy. But this is where the story of Jesus takes place. The story of Jesus and our story encounters this moment with John the Baptist. And think about it. This is the announcer of the kingdom. This is the proclaimer of Jesus the Messiah. This is the one who paved the way for Jesus coming into the world, and he died in the middle of a twisted, R-rated story. Meanwhile, the apostles went out, and they came back in, and so the story goes. But Mark tells us the story of John's death and Herod's sick mind in a flashback to remind us that we live in a world that can be dangerous. And so, take a cue from the way that Jesus sent out his closest followers. Now, there weren't very many of them, and it probably would have been more effective for him to send them out in 12 different directions. But did you notice how Jesus sent out his followers? He did so two by two. And you know why? Because the world, with its Herods and Herodiases and encounters of John the Baptist, is not a place you need to go into alone. We go together. We're sitting here this morning because we need to do this together. We're sitting here this morning because we are a people who need to be together. When the closest followers of Jesus returned, they were tired. They were dog tired. Why else would Jesus invite them to come away and rest? You and I are coming off of a difficult period in American history, and really, you and I are in the middle of a difficult period in American history that includes an emotionally devastating pandemic that we have yet to recover from, untrustworthy politicians who leave us shaking our heads, doing and saying things that are so unbelievable, and a world that, when we look at it, is just plain different. But we, the followers of Jesus, even if it is tiring and dangerous, even if it is tiring and dangerous, when we stay together as the body of Christ, we can go back home to Jesus, who invites us to rest together, to eat together. We can get tired together, and we can weather any storm that comes our way. And do you know why? It is because we were with Jesus in the boat a few days ago. And you know what Jesus said in the boat when the storm hit? He said, "Calm. Be still." And it's not only because Jesus tells the storm in your own heart, "Calm. Be still." But it is because we believe in the bigger promises. We hope in the promise of what comes next. That includes the resurrection of Jesus, a new heaven, and a new earth. And at this point in the story, all we really have to do is maintain hope and maintain that hope together. So go out, come back in. It may get dangerous and it may get tiring, but hope. Hope. And to quote Landon from earlier this morning at the table, and that's my message.